This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 316 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, it's all about the trip reports. We're fresh back from the trips in November, and I've got Sam here to help me tell you all about it. Hey Sam, how's it going?
What's happening, Ed? You know what? It has been a while since it's just been me and you. And I swear that the last time we did this, we just went off and talked about all kind of stuff. We were all over the map. Now, we'll focus on, you know, talking about the trip and how awesome it was and the nerds meet and all the cool things we talk about. But who knows where this conversation is going to go? We'll just throw that out there right now.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I've been downloading pictures, so there's different, like, things in my head as far as what happened the past couple weeks. So before we take the deep dive into our trip reports, I wanted to let you know, and you might have seen it already, we've started a special series of podcasts to kind of get more involved in a couple of the series on the Disney Plus streaming network that we're really into right now. So we're going to be taking some time out and adding some extra shows for The Mandalorian, which has already just come out, so you should see that on your feed. And then we're going to also do the Imagineering series. So the idea is that basically, every two episodes, we're going to basically sit down, discuss it, and kind of go over the details. Now, the Mandalorian is something special, and I'm so mad that I missed this one. But Sam, Jimmy, and Lisa went to town on it and did a complete overhaul of what happened in those two episodes.
It was fun to do, and you know what? We said the two things that I was most looking forward to on Disney Plus are The Mandalorian and the Imagineering series, but there's so much more, too. It's like my mind's blown with some of the things out there, and it's just amazing the things that you can watch. And if you're listening to this podcast, no doubt you already have your subscription and you're knee-deep in all of this and looking for someone to talk about it, and that's why we're here. Some of the Marvel stuff. I can't wait to hear from you guys because this might suck me into that Marvel universe. Well, it's going to be cool.
It's kind of funny because I haven't really even touched any Marvel because I'm just still jumping around the stuff that I haven't had the opportunities to play around with, basically.
Exactly.
A lot of the old Disney stuff, a lot of the Disney shorts, the Mickey Mouse cartoons. I mean, a lot of the stuff's grabbing my attention, including The Mandalorian and the Imagineering series.
I think The Mandalorian's just natural because this is the first live-action Star Wars series. And if you look at the storytelling that some of these directors have had with the cartoons, and I know they're cartoons, but if you start watching those, you get sucked into the storyline and you kind of forget that it's a cartoon. And I really believe that about The Clone Wars and even Rebels. Once you get sucked into the story, it's cool stuff.
Oh, no doubt. And you keep building on each of the series, which is so incredible. And I always kind of use the term, you always want to add the pieces to the puzzle. And that's what you're doing with all the different Star Wars things you now have access to. So totally enjoy it. We're not here to talk about that tonight, but I just want to let you know that you can look forward to more of those shows as we go along. And definitely check it out, because think of it almost like a book club or a video club where you can kind of catch up on the shows and then tune in for when we discuss it, and you can kind of go over some of the stuff you were thinking about too. Okay, so for tonight, it's about the trip reports. So we were down in Walt Disney World first week of November for our meetups, and we did a lot of stuff. For me, it was the first time I've done a week in a long, long, long time. So it was a really, really good trip for myself.
So then, Ed, you had to have things circled that you wanted to hit and that you wanted to do, and it's great when you can do that stuff.
Oh, no doubt, because it was a type of trip where I didn't have any responsibility family-wise, and I did kind of miss that a lot. However, it also meant that I could do whatever I wanted whenever, and then also hang out with all my great friends through the podcast. So it was kind of like the best of both worlds.
Absolutely.
I got down there on a Saturday night, and I left the following Sunday. How did your trip go?
I was down there on Sunday. I had work to do until Thursday when the rest of the family joined me. So I basically spent the weekend with the nerds, some evenings with you guys, including some really cool things in Galaxy's Edge that I hadn't got to do previously. And it was a great trip. I mean, anytime you can hang out in Disney World, it's a great thing.
Well, that's true. That's always kind of the bonus. That's always kind of the benefit of the entire thing is you're at Walt Disney World. You don't have to do much to enjoy yourself. However, we did take advantage of a lot of different things this time, and Galaxy's Edge was one of the big ones, and we've talked about it a couple different times. We mentioned it a little bit when we did our live show from the train station, and I still don't think I can talk enough about it.
The live show from the train station already. It's like, man, so much has happened.
I know, right?
Yeah, you know what happens? You go to Disney World. Yes, it's November when we're there, very early November, late October, and it's Christmas. So you come home, and that's what you want to do. So, you know, we've been in that Christmas mood and putting decorations up and doing all that stuff, and it's Black Friday for me. I'm sorry, not Black Friday. It is Light Up Night, which is the Friday before Thanksgiving. So that's when the outside Christmas lights all come on for us and the local community. I don't know if everybody does that, but that's when we're recording and the lights are flashing outside and I'm feeling like it's Christmas.
That's very, very cool. No, we don't have an official time to put up our lights. However, I was just thinking how un-Christmas it feels around here. I came back all charged from Disney World and it was just like, you know, the whole cold, rainy, and not very Christmassy at this point yet. But we're getting there. Dreamfinder Radio put their holiday music out there. So if you guys haven't listened to Dreamfinder Radio, check that out.
How do I get that?
Dreamfinderradio.com or go to the Disney Nerds Podcast website. You'll see it there also. There's a lot of different ways you can listen to it. So I was really, really happy to get a lot of the holiday stuff out there for everybody.
We have – I got to give you a holiday tradition, and this, by the way, is us getting way off the topic. One of the things that we started doing through Spotify, Hollywood Studios Christmas album. There is a Hollywood Studios Christmas album, which is the background music from Studios the way it used to be. It's sort of the old Sinatra Christmas and stuff like that, and that's playing through my house while we're putting stuff up.
Not bad.
It's pretty cool, and it's completely off topic.
Oh, it is totally up topic. And you know what? I almost want to say I added that to that mix the other night.
Beautiful.
I basically went through a lot of our stuff that we have, and Hollywood Studios might have been one of the ones I hit with some odd ones. But, you know, a lot of classics, our Fab Five friends singing Christmas songs, and a lot of very nice classical Christmas songs out there, too. So, anyway, back to our trip. I think kind of one of the biggest things we were talking about, Galaxy's Edge standing out, and something I did with Sam, Jimmy, and Lisa, and that was the lightsaber build over at Savi's shop. We did mention it a couple times already. I'm probably going to mention it about another dozen times over the next couple of years. Very, very good experience. I definitely recommend it to anybody. Very, very cool. And again, I have like the saber here at home, and it's been an everyday event where I get to kind of take it out and play with it, and really, really cool finding out the different things to do with it.
It's pretty cool. I have mine sitting right here next to my desk, and it's kind of cool. I look at it and go, that was a cool experience. And I tell you what makes that experience better is being able to do it with you guys. That was cool.
Oh, that was definitely the best part about it. We have the video on our YouTube channel of all of us doing this whole saber build, and you can go check it out. Now, if you're going to do it, and I don't do this often, as like I recommend not watching the video or seeing anything ahead of time. Go into it cold. That's how I went into it. I'm so happy I did, and it's so worth the while.
So I'm going to stop you there because I don't know that you went into it complete. You went into a cold as far as not watching it ahead of time. But you did some homework ahead of time by reading the Black Spire book that kind of set the stage for what was going to happen without knowing what was going on, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. A couple weeks before our trip, I found out that they had a Black Spire book. One of the things I love to do ever since the original Star Wars movies came out was keep track of the whole Star Wars universe through their books. So for me to find out there was something about where we're going to go see, it was very, very cool. So yeah, I did get was able to kind of check out what was happening. And
so you probably knew more about Savi than I did, because I just didn't read the book. I didn't have the backstory.
Well, sure. Not a lot of the characters in Bat 2 are characters otherwise known in the Star Wars universe. Of course, Rey, Chewbacca, the Stormtroopers, things like that. Yes, we know Kylo Ren and such. However, the residents of Bat 2 and Black Spire, not at all. And so what I was the book basically went over is the living community, the people that run the different shops, the different restaurants, and Olga, who runs the town as kind of quote-unquote the strong-arm mayor. And, yeah, pretty awesome. Savvies. And actually, and Savvies, when you watch the video, you'll hear the description of it, if you do. And they basically are the gatherers, which we find out is a bigger thing than just on Bat 2. So I'm really interested to see if we hear more about it. It seems to be this group of people that go around the different planets in the galaxy looking for artifacts from the Jedi. And they salvage these artifacts and then recreate different things. That's, in fact, how we created our sabers and the kyber crystals from the gatherers who are finding all these different items and cataloging them and keeping track of them.
Definitely cool.
So yeah, it's really, really, really great background story behind the entire set. And every store, everything in Galaxy's Edge has that background story. The same as Pandora. I mean, they're doing this just land after land now. I'm even to the point Toy Story Land. Everything has its story. Yep. And Disney's doing it to like the Aces. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and maybe that's a return to the detail that they once had, and I absolutely love that.
Right. And Galaxy's Edge, what's cool about it is they tie it into something that everybody knows. And just because of that base, it's like it's always fresh. So, you know, you're always ready for the new stuff.
Yeah, love it.
Yep. So Galaxy's Edge really stood out for us. The Skyliner, I think, was new for you this time, too. I don't think you'd been on it, right?
The Skyliner was cool. Absolutely. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. And I was on it a number of different times for just the ride and also just to basically get to places. It did get us to where we needed to go a couple of different times. However, I did do the trip to the Pop Century and just to kind of go to that station, see what it looked like, get back on it again. It doesn't float. Somebody said the station floats. It's on pretty solid pillars.
No, it doesn't float. It's an island.
Right.
It's an addition to the island that was there because they were always connected. Hourglass Lake, that's kind of where the shape comes from that connects basically Art of Animation to Pop Century.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And by the way, if you're staying at either of those, you could take the bus from the other one. In fact, at one point in time, we were staying at Pop Century, but based on where we were located, we were like equal distance to both buses because we were very close to the bridge.
Right.
So we'd get whatever one was next at the parks.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of an idea, too, where you had the extra transportation plan or extra transportation go-to. So take the Skyliner over to Epcot, go to the boardwalk, grab the bus over to somewhere else, Magic Kingdom or something like that. So, you know, a lot of different ways to probably think about it as we move on. What did you do this trip that was new?
So there's always something new to do. And there's always something that I noticed that I'm like, wow, that wasn't like that before, or that kind of surprised me. And in fact, one of the things I did in going through my pictures, I wanted to kind of say, okay, what looks cool or what's new, what's different. And Ed, I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things that surprised me. And I did that in like the last 10 minutes. And I'm still going through my pictures.
Right.
Isn't that awesome?
That's great.
So one of the things that I really am starting to look forward to, like the Skyliner, where some of them are wrapped and they look cool. And I even see kids go, no, I'm going to ride in a princess one. So they step to the side and wait for the princess one to come around. Or my son, who's like, I'm not riding in a princess one, anyone but that. So which is interesting. But the buses these days and some of the wraps that are hitting the buses, we heard about the Fab Five. But now we're seeing things like Galaxy's Edge buses, or we're seeing Frozen buses, and we're seeing – it's amazing. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And they're really nice and clean, sharp, bright, very, very cool.
I used the USB chargers when we were headed to Animal Kingdom.
That's true.
I didn't need to be charging, but I thought, you know what? I have my charger, and there's the plug right next to me. I'm going to use it.
Right. Now, something else that was cool I noticed this trip on the buses is they have Wi-Fi now.
Yes, which is awesome.
Yep, very cool.
It's the Disney Wi-Fi, just like you would get in your room. Right. So if you're set your device to automatically connect, it connects.
Another thing with the buses I noticed too, and they might have had it before, I just hadn't noticed it this time, is that on your phone, on the app for the Disney Experience app, you can see bus times. Like you see when the bus is supposed to arrive at your resort. So you don't have to wait to get to the bus stop to look at the TV there. You can look at it. And when I did look at the app versus the TV screen, and they did match whenever they changed, if they were longer or something like that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah, you got to like that. Any additional information makes the wait not seem as long, right?
Right, right. Or else it gets everybody out of the room when you're like, hey, the bus is going to be here in 5 minutes. Let's go.
You know what? I didn't think of that, but you're absolutely right. Let's get down there. You're going to miss it.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
Next thing on my list, Ed, was Epcot Forever.
Yes.
I think that was new for both of us.
Did you get to see the full show?
You watched it ahead of time as I did.
Right, okay, good,
and then
good.
Saw it in yep. person.
Right. I actually hadn't seen that video-wise. I waited till I got to the parks, and I was lucky enough to see it twice, see it 2.5 times. And I say 2.5 times because, unfortunately, when we did our Friday night sample-thon, it was raining. So the show was very, very restricted.
I watched it from a different vantage point. In fact, I and the family, we had fast passes for that because for my the rest of my family had never seen it before. I had seen it a couple of days previous. And I wanted to get fast passes and kind of watch it in the middle. Although I'll be completely honest, you can watch this show from anywhere around World Showcase because it's mostly in the air. As long as there's not a tree. I guess what I'm saying is there's nothing to see on the lagoon. Everything happens up in the air.
However,
and it's music.
Yes. Now, and after saying that, I have to give you an asterisk. I have to put a little footnote here. And we actually discussed this. We're going to start a new segment that's the places at Epcot not to ever watch the fireworks from. We always tell everybody where to watch them from and where the best places are. Now, we're going to go the opposite.
I like that idea.
The bridge by the UK. So between the fish and chip shop and the bridge itself, there is about 50 yards worth of like railing and sidewalk on the lagoon. Yeah, don't ever stand there.
There's usually a topiary right in there, right?
Well, there's just a big tree that's over the dessert people down on the lake itself. So
I get it.
But it was a time. It was an open spot, and we're heading to the boardwalk. So that was the half a show. The first time I saw it, it was great. Saw everything: fireworks, lasers, jet skis, kites.
The jet skis are interesting if you're up close. The guys are wearing all black. There's two of them, one facing forward driving it and the other one managing the kite that's being pulled around.
Right.
And it's interesting to watch them.
And it surprised me. I had no idea it was going to happen. And around the lagoon, there are these box-shaped items on the water, which at first sight, I didn't really pay attention to it. I thought it was just like a board or a sign or something like that, just like thin but big. It was actually a big shed where the jet skis came out with their kites.
Yeah, and first time I didn't know what to expect there. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that the night of the meet, our sample-thon, the fireworks, it was safety reasons. They just didn't happen. The music happened, the laser show, there really weren't any fireworks. And I mentioned that I had the fast pass for that. And I was a little disappointed. So the next day we also went to Epcot. And I mentioned it to guest relations that, hey, I was feeling bad because when you take that fast pass for Epcot Forever, that's one of the tier fast passes, so I couldn't get Test Track or anything else because we had to wait till the night. So it is what it is. And I mentioned it, and they took care of us and put us in the VIP section for the following night, which was absolutely wonderful, and it made up for not getting there. So I guess what I'm saying is I didn't go in and complain. I just mentioned it, and they took care of me, which was very nice.
Oh yeah, I usually go into that whole idea if they can do anything about it, and I just walk out with a great attitude. If they can't, it just happens that way.
Yeah,
but you never know.
It was funny. I was looking for fast passes, of course, and she said, "Give me a second," and came back and got me VIP viewing, and I'm like, "That's fine," because I have my fast passes for the day, and now I'm in a spot that was really cool. By the way, back by Italy is where that was, and I can't complain. So.
Yeah, no. All along Italy and Germany, there's some great, great spots. Those are probably, I think, other than, those are probably the best spots, actually.
Yeah. They're, so the show itself, I think we've talked about this before. The show's good. It's nostalgic. It's great, which is the in-between between Illuminations and Harmonious. I think what it is call it the palate cleanser. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So that you don't go straight from Illuminations to Harmonious when people would compare them to each other. Instead, you go from Illuminations to a temporary show, which is good, the music, and it's by no means the best spectacular, and by no means is it better than Illuminations. I wouldn't say that.
But it is a feel-good show based on that soundtrack.
Exactly.
Is what happens. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And I'm good with it because of that. And I'll watch it when I'm there. It feels short because it's only 10 minutes long, like compared to the 27 minute Fantasmic or some of the other things. But
right.
It's good.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like you said, it's good for what it is. And it's on its way out in a year or two. Less than a year. No, I'm not sure when the next one comes.
At this point, maybe less than a year because we're supposed to see Harmonious sometime in 2020, but we don't know. Until they announce that, we're just kind of waiting and seeing, right?
Right. Now, we mentioned the kites. They are lit up. Really, really cool LED lights inside them or in the kites. Now,
yeah,
something
cool.
Else kind of related, but not the Epcot thing. We saw some pictures today of drones being tested at Hollywood Studios over the last week or two. X-Wing drones. Now,
they look cool.
The theory is it's only going to be used for the media event for the Rise of the Resistance opening, but they're, you know, who knows?
They might who knows? I mean, that's the rumor part.
Can you
the
imagine?
The fact is they're testing X-Wing drones. What we don't know is what the heck they're going to use them for.
Right. You know how they do the fireworks show in front of the Chinese theater with Star Wars with the lasers all over the place? Imagine you have a couple X-Wing fighters flying through there.
Fly over it.
Yeah. In scale, you wouldn't be able to tell. It'd be awesome.
That'd be so cool. That really would be cool.
But it's still dangerous. Drones are just dangerous. They're not going to do that. But I wouldn't think so,
but who knows? You can do something in the distance. You could look up and see them fighting each other, and who knows?
True.
Oh, I got to the Christmas tree trail, which is always cool. I'm liking that. It gets a little bigger every year at Disney Springs.
That's good. Adi, we were talking about Adi had gotten to that. And he was showing us pictures, and I love how they do that tree-wise. I got to try to do that one year. It's just like pick one theme and go with that.
And go with it, whether it's Haunted Mansion or Star Wars or pick the Disney princess. They have a tree, Tangled, Cinderella, Ariel, you name it. Or the franchise Fantasia I thought was a great tree. Or just the Disney Parks tree was really cool. Right. And this year, maybe more than prior years, is this ornament's available in the World of Disney store. and they kind of set it this year. It's a little different than last year because it is where the – Shopping District bus stop used to be for Downtown Disney. So if you remember Downtown Disney, there were three bus stops. And now for Disney Springs, there's one central bus stop, which is a much better solution than the three. But you used to have the Shopping District, sort of the center, and West Side. Mm-hmm. One of those bus stops is now the Christmas tree trail. And some of the trees are tucked up under what were the sheds. And there's a food booth back there and some concessions. But this year they made it so that the exit – pretty much pushes you right into the Christmas store.
Nice.
You don't have to go into the Christmas store, but you walk through all these Christmas trees and then you go into the store and there's all the ornaments that you just looked at on the trees.
Perfect.
Now, I'm good with it.
And you brought up another memory too, is one of the days we're at Hollywood Studios, they were doing the filming for the Christmas show, which we saw not as much as last year. It was a lot less than it was last year as far as being prohibitive and doing stuff. However, this one at Hollywood Studios, the main street coming into the park was closed for the filming of it. And coming into the park originally, they had us going down the one sidewalk on the right. However, leaving the park, it was like Disney's wet dream. They had to have us go through the store to leave the park. So you had no choice. You had to go through that last store.
Because they were filming on the street.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yep.
I did have on my list that I watched some filming over at the Magic Kingdom. That whole Christmas parade has evolved so much over the years. And in fact, I'm working on some stuff to show some of that history. But this time it was to get close, basically to be on TV on Christmas morning, you needed to have a wristband. And the only way you got a wristband was to be a cast member or know a cast member that were bringing their friends and family. Because basically you signed up for the day to do that, right? You're there all day. You're cheering. You're going through all the different takes. It was cool. The one evening I got to see Sting perform. And by the way, some of this was on the live. We went live from Facebook, so you'll see some of that. Right. Saw Sting perform and saw Shaggy perform, which was kind of cool.
Yeah,
seeing Sting was really neat.
What song did he sing? I can't remember.
He sang Genie in a Bottle.
Oh, awesome.
Or Message in a Bottle. I'm
very,
sorry.
Very Christmassy.
Very Christmassy, and I couldn't get it. The introduction was something on the lines of, clearly these are Disney recording artists through whatever label, right? They're part of the Disney family. And this was, he's got a new Greatest Hits album coming out, and he's going to start a residency in Vegas at some point. So he must have a stint out there. And,
oh, cool.
And that was advertising for that, which would be cool to see Sting in Vegas.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly. Why not?
They did a lot of filming actually in Galaxy's Edge too, come to think of it.
I completely expect that. And the flip side of that, as much filming as they did in Magic Kingdom, of course, always, I'm positive they probably did some in Animal Kingdom and most likely in Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge, because those are the things that are open, come and see it. I don't think there was much filming in Epcot with all the construction walls over there.
No, there wasn't as much. Yeah, you're right. Correct. Because there was a lot last year around Spaceship Earth and such like that.
Yeah, and that's all construction walls this year, which is another thing we noticed, but that it is what it is, right?
And we noticed the construction walls, but was awesome and kind of different is that we were going over by the Living Seas and getting on a Nemo. And as you're approaching the building itself, if you look to your right, it was a shock because you could see Spaceship Earth really, really well. And the whole idea was like there's a whole building or there's something that's like totally gone from that area. And when we left later on, you can look the other way through and see see Nemo too that way.
Yeah, and a couple of I-beam construction going up. And likewise, they did the same thing on the flip side. So if you're standing right in front of Spaceship Earth looking at it from the front of the park, on the right, you could see straight to Nemo. And on the left, you could basically see right to the Guardians coaster. And I'm looking at going, man, if they open this up, this could be amazing. I don't think they're going to, but it was just interesting to see.
Right. And the Guardians building is huge. You can see that from like everywhere.
Interesting enough on that side of the park, and I'll bring this one up because my kids noticed this. Basically, where Guardians is and where the Festival Center used to be, there's a stage that they put there. So basically, there's nothing to see down here. Don't go down this way. If you make the left through, if you make the left right in front of Mouse Gear and you went straight over to Mission Space, to the left is a big stage. And it was really sort of the kids dance party stage, but on the weekends they have Disney Channel recording artists come in and perform on that stage. And it was interesting because my daughter was really interested in the performances because these are people on the Disney Channel. It was sort of like Eat to the Beat for kids.
Oh, very cool.
And I thought that was a really interesting concept, and I didn't know anything about it until we stumbled into it.
Well, don't they have that, like, they have a playground over there also, I believe.
Well, the playground's more towards Test Track, and
correct,
it's
the
still
there,
but it's a it's construction walls everywhere back there.
Oh, there is. Yep. Just to the bathroom is like one big alley construction wall to the building.
Yes,
like
and it basically goes all the way around the underneath the monorail, and it's construction walls everywhere.
Yep.
But I just thought that stage was an interesting concept, and maybe that's something that sticks.
It seems
kind of
far to get to
it, though.
Kids
eat to the beat. They didn't call it that. They called it some Disney Junior dance party. But
Right. That's cool.
It was cool.
Nice.
Another thing I noticed over in Epcot, and I don't know if you know, did you ride the land at all?
Yes.
Did you notice the new scenes for Living with the Land? There were some new projections in there right after the house with the dog on the porch on the left. Where it used to be the really old school, and I can almost memorize that theme where they talked about in wherever we're using insects to control.
Right. No, I didn't notice.
It's brand new video, and it was a new spiel, and it was a new voice, and I
thought, when did
this happen?
Because I saw the guys trimming the tea leaves like they did with the machine, and I did see that part of it, and I saw the different desert, like the changeover in the desert, and the where they're growing grass and stuff like that with irrigation. But I didn't remember seeing the beginning of it.
There was some new scenes, and I got some pictures of there I'll have to share with you.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
It was new, and I thought, wow, this happened without – well, I didn't know and went on and saw it. I might have missed it on Twitter or someplace like that. But it was interesting to see something new.
Yes, correct. New also, and we were talking Galaxy's Edge, but let's just talk real quick. Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon ride. I was able to get on it once. Hopefully next time I'll have more opportunities.
Did you single rider line?
I did not. We lucked out because the ride was closed for some, something happened and it opened up and we jumped right on and it was like 20 minutes.
Sometimes lucky's better than good, right?
Yeah. And we were both pilots, so it was awesome. Awesome.
That's even better.
Yeah. I've heard so many bad stories about people waiting in that big line and then getting up there and having two kids as their pilots or somebody that just doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And not being a great experience. So, unfortunately, I could see that being a downside. The other downside I thought with the ride was that, okay, it was cool. We got to ride through the walk through the garage part. That's where the line was. But then when you get into the actual Millennium Falcon and you're walking around the room with your ticket, but the thing that I thought was kind of odd was that you didn't have enough time in the Falcon itself. Once you got into where, quote unquote, the Falcon was, you're walking down the hallways, you see where the game table is and stuff like that. First of all, there's a lot of people milling around with their tickets because you each have your colored ticket waiting to get called for your crew. And you get called pretty quickly, I thought. So I'd love to have a little bit of extra time roaming around in there.
I completely agree with you, Ed. One of the things we talked about early on about Galaxy's Edge was that emotional connection that you get. When I go to Olga's Cantina, I'm like, this is cool, but it's not Mos Eisley Spaceport. It's not the Star Wars Cantina. Right. When I went into Millennium Falcon and walked into it and you go down that hallway, that's when it was like, oh my gosh, I'm in the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. And you come around that corner and you see the holo table and you can picture Chewie sitting there. And the first thing I want to do is sit down and get my picture taken and just look around here. And they're calling me before I get my picture taken.
Right.
And I'm like, I need time in here. And by the way, the rumors are that was originally going to be a Chewbacca meet and greet in there. Could you imagine?
Oh, then you would never get on the ride. That people would be just stuck in that room forever.
That's why it didn't last. But that was going to be, get your picture with Chewie while you're waiting.
Nice.
Which, wow.
Yeah, no doubt. That was my only, I guess, complaint, quote unquote complaint. The ride itself was great. The experience was cool. Hopefully they'll bring in new experiences as we go down the road. Hondo was awesome. Although I didn't get to see the full Hondo experience, we were selected toward the end of our room, I guess, or whatever the experience was there. So I'd like to do that. However, even after riding that, I still think Flight of Passage is the best ride in Walt Disney World still. So we'll have to see when Rise of the Resistance happens, and we'll have to get down there and ride that. Which is happening like next week or the week after. It's coming up close.
Yeah, we're coming close. The first week in December. Here's the similarity and the part why Flight of Passage is good. I stop to say it's the best ride because it's still a screen-based ride, just like Smuggler's Run. I mean, they're just putting you in something and showing you a movie, and no, I want to get back to a classic dark ride, and I'm so hoping that Rise of Resistance does that for us.
Well, and I hope so too. However, I still think that Flight of Passage is more than just a projection ride.
It is. It's a motion simulator. I agree with that.
And just the sounds, the wind, everything. Plus, okay, here's something else I noticed about it this time around. You literally see a different show if you're sitting somewhere different. Like if you're up over on the left or down on the right, it is almost a completely different show. I feel like I'm seeing new scenes whenever I get in there. I think that's also a definite plus. And it's still got the huge weights, so a lot of people agree with that.
It's definitely a ride worth doing. I'm with you there.
The big surprise was Test Track has the big weight at Epcot. Soarin', not so much. Trying to think, Magic Kingdom was pretty much tied for all the big rides there, I think, throughout the week. And our week was pretty good during the weekdays. However, we did really get nailed on the weekend getting up to Veterans Day.
Especially
that was something to take into account next time around, which is actually it worked out well. So I was kind of happy we got a lot of the park stuff in the beginning part, and then we had our meets at the end of the week. So it worked out well.
Yeah, and Veterans Day allowed me to stay a day longer because the kids didn't have school on Monday, so that was cool.
Right, that was awesome. We actually had school for Veterans Day.
Yeah, okay.
I know we're both in Pennsylvania. I don't get it.
I know it doesn't, but it's fine. Speaking of, you were talking about Pandora, and I want to touch on Animal Kingdom again, mm-hmm. because one of the things that really, really surprised me, the new holiday stuff happening at Animal Kingdom really blew me away. It was way better than I had expected, and it put Animal Kingdom for Christmas on the map for me. It was good.
Awesome. Very cool. And they're going to be doing a lot of stuff at night now also, Animal Kingdom holiday-wise too, light-wise.
Absolutely. And it looks like some live entertainment. It's the Tree of Life projection show. It just put it on the map for me. I was really impressed with some of the things they were doing. And the decorations look great, of course, mm-hmm. as you would expect.
Oh, yeah. For the last year or two, I've been really kind of happy with the nighttime stuff they've had. And just to bring it into the holiday season, it's just, I guess, natural.
Yeah, so it is awesome. Good. Do you know what I did want to ask you? I'm going to jump back to Epcot, if that's okay.
Yeah.
It was food and wine, and I think we talked about it a little bit on the live show. But after the live show, while we were leaving, in fact, it was the morning that we're staying at one of the Epcot resorts, and our flight's at 2 o'clock, and, of course, you're going to walk over to Epcot. We're going to see what we can get in with the Food and Wine Fest. That opens at 11, and our flight's at 2, so I don't have a lot of time here, right?
Sure.
And we walked up towards Nemo and Figment and wanted to do those kind of things. And the smell from Flavors of Fire just grabbed me and said, come over here. Because they were roasted. And Flavors of Fire, I didn't know this until that morning, was the best that I've had the entire time there. And what it is, it's the ESPN tailgate. So it's all tailgate type garb, and the burger was just fantastic, and they had a nachos with pulled pork, and it was amazing, and wow, was that good.
Oh, yeah.
It blew me away.
Yep. I totally agree with you.
Did you get to that, to Flavors of Fire?
I did get through there.
Okay.
I had a couple of different things as we were going. Now, it's so funny because Food and Wine's awesome, and I really want to talk about it so much, but unfortunately, it's such a toward the end that I feel like it's like everybody's talked about it and all the different things in
there.
Well,
it's basically wrapping up because Epcot's about to switch over to Christmas.
Right. But I tell you, a lot of the – I did hit actually a bunch of stands this year because we got over there a couple different times. And I wasn't disappointed with anything, which actually never happens, which is pretty cool.
Yes, agree. Absolutely.
I'm trying to think what stood out the best. Oh, you know what surprised me was the Impossible Shepherd's Pie. I made it a point to try that, and that didn't taste anything different. That was pretty good. But, I mean, it's like the slider was great again in Hawaii.
Yeah. There was an Impossible slider at the
I didn't go
Flavors of Fire.
That. Yeah, I didn't try that one.
I did have it, but to me, I couldn't tell. There was a spicy sort of coleslaw on it, and that's all I tasted. I couldn't tell if it was meat, if it was chicken, if it was
good camouflage.
I couldn't tell. So it's probably not the right thing to try that with. But
right. it was pretty good. Japan, the bun or the chicken teriyaki Bao bun or whatever it is, it was like the cheeseburger over in Pandora, where it's like totally inside the bun,
and it's got that same bun that's thing. In that short, the Pixar short that's on Disney Plus.
I don't know, but I've seen that one. That's
thing?
Really good. It's the same thing, yeah.
Similar. Yeah, that's funny.
You put the meat. Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what that is. Actually, I don't think it goes to college and it doesn't like you, but you know, other than that,
that's good. Now all of that said, and you mentioned that the festivals winding down. On the flip side of that, holidays around the world is just starting, and I know that Lisa is getting some insight into what's happening for holidays around the world, and I'm sure that she will be willing to share some of that with us next week. So stay tuned to that next week to learn a little bit about what's up for Festival of Holidays at Epcot, which is starting very soon.
Oh, I know. I can't wait for that. What was the thing we heard is that the land, they're going to be decorating that for Christmas?
I didn't hear that, but if that's true, I can't wait to see it.
And like, I guess maybe the ride through and stuff like that. So, yeah, cool.
That'd be great. I love that.
Something different.
I have one other thing from Epcot that was interesting because I'm typically staying at an Epcot resort, or at least I like to try to. After Illuminations, listen to me. After Epcot Forever. When Epcot Forever's finished and you head back, right? As soon as the first fireworks go off, all the kiosks close, everything's done, and you're gone. as we were walking from sort of the front of the park through Canada and through the UK and Canada, and you get almost to the UK, the Joffrey's Coffee that's on the right, that's open in the mornings, where you can get a pastry or whatever, was open after Epcot Forever. In fact, they told me they were opened a half an hour after park close. And I just thought it was great to be able to grab a bottle of water or grab something, because typically you're like, oh, I'm so thirsty, but I got to get back to the hotel. Right. I'd never seen that before.
I thought I noticed a lot of things were open after the fireworks this time around.
Maybe that's a new thing.
Even going back with the rain that night on Friday night, it seemed like there was a lot of things still open that you can buy stuff at as you were going.
But it was always, the food stuff. I just want a bottle of water. Where can I grab that? And now you can grab a coffee.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, you can get a coffee anytime now. It's awesome.
Pretty much. Actually, in Epcot, because Starbucks is closed and there's not a temporary one, which I'm really surprised.
Right. We just saw pictures today of them tearing down Club Cool.
The building behind that whole thing's gone, man.
Yep. It's bound to happen.
We've gone through this, and we know what's coming, and there's some really cool stuff coming over there, and Club Cool isn't going away. Starbucks isn't going away, or we know that they are going to be somewhere else in Epcot, but we have no details on where. Maybe Disney will share something with us the first week of December when they have some media information available, because they did mention we'd get an update on Epcot, but sometimes the update is everything we already knew.
Sure.
We'll just have to find. We'll have to wait and see.
Speaking of new construction, I was able to, with Lisa's help, take a ride behind the Tron ride over the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
And behind Space Mountain there as you go past the Contemporary. So we got some video of it. It looks like the track is completely done. It was like they were covering it up with some type of gray material, and they were starting to work on the building around it. So I got to think the next pictures you're going to start seeing the next week or two are going to be the building getting kind of covered up.
Which doesn't cover up all of the track, which is really cool, because the track does come out of the building and zoom around, and I can't wait to ride that.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing some more of the video from where they have the actual ride itself already working, and yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I've tried to avoid that. And Ratatouille. I know you guys did a ride through on that a long time ago, but I'm trying to staying away from it.
I'll go back and check that out, too. okay, so I'm trying to think other major stuff from this trip.
There was one other thing that I was able to do. Actually, Lisa and I did it, and we went live for part of that. We did the Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam dessert party.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I didn't see that.
And that was pretty cool. A couple of surprises there. There was a Chip and Dale photo opportunity that was part of the package. So you got the PhotoPass photographer was there. And by the way, it was included in the package, even if you're not an annual pass holder. As an annual pass holder, I get the photo passes. But just being at the party got you the photo pass. And it was Chip and Dale with one of the photographers in front of the tree with nobody around you because you're inside the dessert party area.
Right.
So it was pretty cool.
I was going to say, the dessert party area was pretty cool. I think it was set up on the pathway in front of Indiana Jones.
It was basically the lower half of if you think Echo Lake and where Gertie's is.
Okay.
That lower level where Gertie's is, and there's some steps, that entire lower level was part of it. In fact, Gertie's was a bar, which was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty cool.
They used it for it. I'm like, that is such a great use of the ice cream shop.
That should be all the time.
Maybe they will at some point, but they had tables all lined up, and a quick little thing for any annual pass holder. One of the reasons that I did that and Lisa did it is it was 20% off for annual pass holders, which made it, in my opinion, more reasonable, right? 20% is 20%.
Sure. Oh, no doubt. And when you do it with like five people, that's 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly true, because there was four of us in my group, and then Lisa went as well.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool.
And a little keepsake ornament that we just hung on our tree. Everybody got
one of those. That's always the best
part. Yeah, jingle bell, jingle bam, dessert party.
Right. Oh, and also, I don't know if you saw this. Real quick, jumping all the way back to Galaxy's Edge and making the lightsaber and such like that, you get a pin when you decide what kind of lightsaber you're going to make.
Yeah.
There's four different choices, and you get the specific pin. What that does is it helps the people, I guess, at Savvy's decide what tray of parts you're going to get. However, when you look at the back of the pin, I noticed that it does have the language from Batuu on it, which was really cool because I was trying to figure out which one I'd selected. I forgot because there's a bad one, there's a couple good ones and such like that.
There's not a bad one.
A dark side.
It's not bad. It's just power and control, which is the one I picked.
Right, I know. Just
it's
the
not
sound
bad
of that
or
is,
good. It's
the
just
sound
a different
of that's
way of looking at things.
And anyway, so
I'm trying
I
to
translated
defend myself
it.
Taking
I know,
power
I know you're
control.
Trying, which I understand totally. So I translated it, and it's awesome because it told me what kind of lightsaber I made. So even on the pin itself, just the crap on the back is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's not one I'm going to be trading.
No. No.
And they were different based on what you picked, right?
Right.
Mine was different than you guessed.
And I'm going to try to hope – I'm getting a stand for the handle of it, so hopefully I'll be able to put the pin on that too and kind of keep it together.
You know what? I should think of a way to do that. You probably could.
On the bottom of it or the whatever the second part is. So we'll see. Something else to think about. Something else we did new, which are for me anyway, is we went over to Jelly Rolls, and which is on the boardwalk. Now, I've heard about the place, and I've been to dueling piano bars along, you know, all down the beach and stuff like that, and the actual Jersey Shore. And this was kind of it was fun, and there was a really good crowd, and it was just a smaller room than I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be a little bit bigger. We had great seats down the front, hanging out with Jimmy's mom and her sister and her friends. And we're
Jimmy
kind of all over
the
place.
Jimmy bought the place out, let's be honest.
It was a really, really fun time. And I didn't realize the whole situation. You got some really talented piano players. There's four of them over the night, and they kind of trade off. And you basically want a song played, you write it on a note, you throw it up on stage with a couple bucks, and they'll get to it. Really fun time.
Yeah, that's cool. Definitely good stuff.
Yeah. Now, that night was pretty cool because to get out of there, we ended up walking to the Swan and Dolphin to get our Uber back to the hotel. And that was kind of a fun experience because we walked through that whole food and wine area for them. The food that you were showing us the pictures.
That's their, I think it's now their 10th annual food and wine classic, which I've never done it, but having seen it, I need to do this.
Yeah, it was a really, really impressive setup. Imagine all the kiosks over from World Showcase, but lined up next to each other in a really nice, really cool walkway area that you can kind of hit each one.
That extends over to the swimming pool and around the beach and is you pay one price and eat and drink all you can.
Yep.
They give you a wristband and you just show it and they give you a glass of wine or they give you – now they give you a glass of wine. There's a representative from the vineyard who will tell you all about it and the different samples they have. And it looked kind of cool. I didn't partake, but that's definitely on my list of things to do.
Awesome. Oh, standing out, the Kurt Russell wine or Kurt Russell Vineyard.
Ah, there you go.
I saw that on the walk around.
Ed and Kurt Russell, man. I love it.
Yep. Something else new we did was – or at least for me – Jimmy had done this before, was rented one of the pontoon boats over at the Polynesian. And we took that out on the lake, which was really, really fun. And we'll probably talk about this down the road with Jimmy on and Lisa on and stuff like that. They were with us. And but for me, really fun time. And it was incredible because you could put 10 people on the boat. We had 7, I believe, and it was like $8 a person.
When you do the really division, great. It's one price no matter if two people go on or if you fill it up with 10. It's the same price.
Sure.
And I've done that over at the Yacht Club before. So I got to kind of scoot around Swan and Dolphin and the lake in front of studios and as close as you can get to Epcot. You can't go into Epcot, but you can go that direction.
Right, it's
cool.
Yeah, something different to do.
Dude, I'm looking at my list. The only thing that we didn't hit is the Epcot experience, and I think we talked about that on a prior show.
You know what I didn't get to do this trip, which I wanted to do, and we were 0-2 trying it, was the Lightning McQueen experience over at Hollywood Studios.
Oh, Lightning McQueen Racing Academy.
We went there twice, my friend Chris and I. The first time we went over there, we got in there, sat down, and you heard some like noise from the back. And
that's never good.
Yeah, I know. It was, and then you had the people, the cast members asking us if we could kind of leave. What had happened was, I guess a kid lost his lunch in the back, had a big protein spill, but it was like everywhere. So they had to bring in their guys that kind of like sanitized the entire back part of the theater.
Was the first time. And there's no moving parts in there, so that's a bad day.
And here's the thing, though. We came back a second time, and we're waiting outside. And the lady said, okay, yeah, you know, 10 minutes, whatever. The line's getting bigger and bigger. We're hanging out. And then as we're getting ready to walk in, the door's open. It's like, oh, sorry, there's technical difficulties. We have to close it again. Wow. And I was like, I walked over to the cast members. Hey, is this like the same protein spill from like an hour ago? Because we're, and she was like, oh, no, no, this is something wrong in the back or some mechanical problems. And I didn't think there was that much going on in there as far as mechanical stuff, but.
There's an animatronic and there's some cool things that happen. So I guess, let's put it this way. If it gets out of sync, the show would not be the same.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so.
You know what I mean? If it's not synchronized.
Gotcha. So 0 for 2 on that one. But we'll try it next time I get down there. I didn't think that was that big of a loss. I got on the major rides.
Yeah, no, that's not that big of a loss if you're riding everything else.
Right. Saw the parade, saw the fireworks from all the parks.
The parade. Which parade?
Oh, the Magic Kingdom parade. I'm sorry.
Festival of Fantasy or one of the night times?
The Festival of Fantasy. Well, there's no, I didn't see any of the show.
Well, the only one would be the Christmas party.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
And that was kind of cool. We saw it from the train station, actually, which was really cool because it happened after our scavenger hunt.
Yes.
So watching the dragon coming around the circle and looking up at you and blowing flames was
That'd be cool, outrageous. Yeah.
I can't wait to see if I got that picture.
That's cool.
And I tell you what, if you're down in the parks in the next month or two before the train station opens, use it. Get up there because nobody's up there. And the Main Street shows are pretty cool from that viewpoint. The parade was really cool from up there. I got to imagine the flag lowering is going to be good from up there.
And you know what? Those cast members up there are just looking for people to talk to, and they will tell you all about the trains.
Oh, yeah. That's the other side of the coin. And Jimmy and we all talked about this on the live show from there. But you can walk up to the train station, walk out by the train. The conductors are just hanging out. Literally, they have nothing else to do but hang out and talk to people who come out and check it out. Our Instagram page has some awesome pictures of the train and Jimmy and a couple of people in front of it. And just even going to the track and looking down the track, you don't see those type of views, really.
That's right. You can't touch that train engine when it's coming by.
Right. And it was made in Philadelphia. I did check that out.
That's cool.
Or something
That's cool.
Like that.
You know, the crazy part of that, and it gets back to us talking about Tron, if you go over by Tron, by Space Mountain, or even ride the People Mover, you can see pretty good. There's the train track is gone. It's not there. Like, they took it out so they could build Tron, and then they got to put the train track back. It's just amazing to think that's what they did.
Right. And here's, at this point, that's probably one of the easiest things they will do, too.
Yes. Yeah, and it gives them the opportunity to reinforce and do whatever they have to do to the train over there, because I don't know... Tron's going over it. There's nothing going under it. It's
right.
Yeah. No, forget that.
Okay. Now, before we finish up for tonight, I just wanted to real quick go over the scavenger hunt again we had on Saturday. We had another successful year of great, great hunters that came out.
And a great scavenger hunt itself. Ed, kudos to you once again for pulling that together and doing the research and the homework and learning things that I heard more than one person say, I would have never known that if I didn't do the scavenger hunt. And I know that's why you do it. That's cool.
That's exactly it. We had the Florida Plungers take the coveted first place win again this year. Not again, I should say, because they took a year off last year. So they are back on top. And now we're going to think about next year. Well, not too soon. So tune in down the road. We'll talk about what we're going to do for the next scavenger hunt.
Yeah, we've been to all the parks at this point. But
even twice, three times.
You know, as much as you've done for Galaxy's Edge, boy, you just never know, huh?
Ooh. Well, yeah, that's going to be it, probably.
Galaxy's Edge / Toy Story Land. With the start and the stop at the Baseline Tap House. Look, I'm already all
say,
over.
No. I was going to say that would tie it all together. You just have that circle there would work out.
Yeah.
In front of the Chinese theater too.
Now we're not saying that's what's going to happen.
And
stay
I don't
want to.
Yeah,
sure
I don't want to start thinking about this too soon either. My wife will not be happy about that. Real quick too, if you do get yourself a lightsaber, make sure you do get yourself at least one, if not two, kyber crystals. It seems like an odd thing to spend extra money on an extra kyber crystal, but it definitely would be worth it.
I've taken it apart many times.
So have I.
Just to play with it and be like, this is cool.
And the sound from each crystal is different.
Is and it? When you, I know if you leave it on when you take it apart and put it together, I'm sure you've done this. It makes different sounds while you're building it.
Right. Now, here's the other side of it. When you take the blade out and it's off, the crystal is still on. Okay? When you turn the blade actually on, the switch on, it should be turning the blade on, but that's when you get the whole noise that sounds like it's broken. But that actually turns the crystal off then, so it's not blinking anymore.
Oh, so mine's on my hilt stand. I just picked it up. It has no blade.
So look inside of it. It's if the switch is off, the light's on. But if the switch is on, which makes that noise, it turns the light off. It turns the crystal off.
Yeah, that's cool.
Now, for three AAA batteries, this has been going a really steady long. And I'm
I haven't even gotten into that yet. So yes, you're right. Mine is still with the same batteries.
Or let's actually kind of do the in-depth. The power cells, I don't have to like get my blaster and charge it anytime soon.
You don't have to charge the AA power cells.
Right.
I love that. I need a Gonk droid to charge this thing.
Okay, guys. So that's it for this week's show. I hope you enjoyed our trip reports. Again, this was a really, really fun trip for me. I was able to do so many new things, and that's such a fun time at Walt Disney World. Most of us stayed at the movies, and that was a pretty fun time. I think I was in the room the furthest away from the lobby you can be. It was a pretty amazing
But is it close
walk.
To a bus stop? Lobby doesn't matter.
There's only one bus stop. It's by the lobby of those resorts. But other than that, it was a pretty good stay. And again, one last thank you to all my podcast friends for my freaking awesome, great lightsaber. You guys are just incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
And for all of them, I say you are absolutely welcome.
Thanks. Okay, guys. Well, so that is it for show number 316. Before we get out of here, I think Jimmy has something to say. Jimmy, how can people get in touch with the show?
There he is again.
Out of nowhere.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Out of nowhere, how's he do that? So right now, Ed, you're going to watch Disney Plus, right? What are you going to watch?
I'm going to watch The Mandalorian Part 3 one more time. I already saw it once, so I got to hit the second time.
I have not watched watch Part 3 yet, so I'm going to go watch that now. I put up the Christmas tree today, and the kids were decorating that, so I'm going to watch Mandalorian 3 right
now. There's your reward. Awesome. Okay, guys. Well, thanks a lot for listening. For Sam, this is Ed. We're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Kongaloosh!
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token.